The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. From the biggest moments.
Can you believe it?
To gold medal championships.
Sidney Crosby, the golden goal!
It's your update on Canada's game. You're listening to the True North Ice Podcast with Jacob Ewing and Caleb Schneider. Welcome to the True North Ice Podcast, where we cover everything Hockey Canada and Canadian hockey related. I'm Jacob Ewing, joined alongside Caleb Schneider, and what a first episode we have, Caleb. One of the biggest tournaments, I would say, in hockey history. They bring back best-on-best hockey. We're covering and breaking down the four nations face-off.
Yes, great tournament, and no complaints, and great way to start our podcast.
Exactly. You cannot ask for a better event kind of to kick this thing off.
Like, exactly.
What an event it was. It replaces the All-Star break, something that was getting bland and boring over the years. And they bring out this brand new toy, and it just clicked so well.
Mm-hmm. It only took 6 years to do, too.
Yeah.
We're finally here.
You see news outlets like ESPN, like we saw Shaq and Chuck both on the panel, on the NBA panel. Talking about how good this tournament was. Kevin Durant, I know, was talking to fans on Twitter about who were complaining about the NBA All-Star game, which was also going on at the same time as Four Nations was going on, and saying, listen, if you find the NBA boring, go watch this incredible hockey that is going on.
You know what? I think the best way to start this podcast, Jake, is with a hot take on Team Canada from the tournament. I want to hear your hot take.
You want to hear my hot take? Okay, let's do it. I'll go first. My hot take is, let's say more specifically about kind of last night's game. Now I don't want to go down. Okay. I believe that the US of A would have won gold at the Four Nations face-off if they had Quinn Hughes.
Interesting. And who would be taken out of the lineup then? You taking Jake Sanderson
out? I'm not taking Jake Sanderson out. He had an incredible game. Obviously, he scored the second goal to gave the U.S. the lead in the second period. Played a great game defensively. Not afraid to take on anybody in the world. I'm taking out Brock Faber. Young defenseman. Same place as Sanderson, you know. Young defenseman. Mm-hmm. You know, he did his job. It's nice. You didn't see him a lot on the ice. Or you didn't notice him a lot on the ice. And that's good for a shutdown defenseman. You know, if you don't notice him, he means he's not making mistakes, right? And he did a good job of that last night, but, you know, he's still young, still have some time to develop. I'm taking Brock Faber out of the lineup. I mean, Quinn Hughes over Brock Faber any day of the week, right?
Mm. Well, Quinn Hughes over any defenseman on the U.S. anyways, but...
It's true.
In this case, would you have done 11-7 then, if they were able to do that?
God, no.
You wouldn't have taken Brock Nelson out or Chris Kreider for Quinn Hughes?
Mind you, Chris Kreider didn't play a lot last night. I believe he was benched after the end of the second period or like 3 minutes left a second. But Chris Kreider is in a game like that, mind you, it wasn't very physical last night. Not as much as it was on Saturday. But Chris Kreider is just another one of those players we've seen in the past where he's a rat, right? And he's good to have in a game like that. So,
I mean, I probably would have won 11-7. They've got so much star power. Why not have an Austin Matthews or Jack Eichel go out on the fourth line?
So, Caleb, I want to hear your hot take about this whole entire tournament. Let's hear it.
My hot take is that Josh Morrissey, although he had 0 points, was Canada's best defenseman.
Okay, why don't you break that down for us?
Obviously, Cale Makar, he only had one assist, first of all. Obviously, assists, points, not really a big deal for defensemen when the guys up front are doing all the work, but... Especially in that Canada-US game, the first one, when Cale Makar was out, Josh Morrissey really stepped up, was playing like the best, though he was playing like the number one D-man on Canada, and just really held down the fort defensively. It could have easily been 5-1 final without him.
Okay. I really like that. You know, you did mention he only finished with 1 point, but you have so much firepower and so many different options that you don't need a defenseman to get so many points, right? That's fine.
No,
you can still win a tournament.
He ended with 0 points, but he was a plus one. But I'm saying if Canada's forwards were any better, like I wouldn't say they struggled, but the offense wasn't as great as what you expected. If they were more offensive, he easily could have ended with like a plus three or four.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you. I like that point, you know, especially when Cale Makar was out in that Saturday game. he really stepped up. Mm-hmm. He really did. And mind you, they lost. But a 2-1 game with an empty netter is as close as it gets. Okay, well, no, I don't even know if that's a hot take, Caleb. I think that's just a take. So why don't we roll right out of our hot takes and go into the breakdown of each game. We had 4 games overall, 3 round robins, 1 championship game. Kale, why don't you kick us off?
Well, first game we had Canada-Sweden, which was a great opener for the NHL and the Four Nations face-off with like the best start you could ever imagine. You got Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid assisting Nathan MacKinnon on the power play. Couldn't set that up any better than that, no?
No, it was the perfect starting. It really was. To kind of show the firepower that Team Canada has. Mm-hmm. Mind you, after that goal, I think expectations maybe got a little bit too high.
Mm-hmm,
because
definitely.
When you score with just under a minute into the first period, you kind of think, okay, we're gonna win this tournament easily, right? And it definitely was not that. As we both know how that game went, Canada took, it was a 2-0 lead. And then that third period collapsed from Canada, 2 goals to tie the game. OT, and then it's, well, Mitch Marner, who did not have a good game at all, breaks in.
I will say he had a good couple chances in OT, but the first 3 periods just wasn't, like, you couldn't notice him at all. It was just not great at all.
It really wasn't. It was turnover after turnover. And that, you know what, that could be because, you know, it's a new team. You're still trying to gel with your line mate.
To be fair, they only had, like, 1 or 2 practices before.
Exactly. So it makes sense, but he breaks in. Crosby, his 3rd assist of the night, the primary on that one. It just, he rips it. And then it gives Canada the first win, gets them 2 points out of the possible 3 with the overtime win. Not a bad first game for Canada.
Well, next game, obviously the biggest game of the tournament. We had U.S.-Canada in the Bell Center in Montreal. Of course, we have all the politics and whatnot. We had booing of the national anthems. We're not going to go. We're not going into politics today, but
we had the booing. Trudeau in the crowd.
Trudeau was in the crowd. Another great start for Canada after the booing, and I guess we didn't even mention the fights. The fights was by far the most, probably the biggest highlight for most fans in the entire tournament was the fighting.
Oh, 100%.
I want to hear your take. What was your thoughts on that?
You know what? I think the U.S. executed it perfectly. The Tkachuk brothers just going out there and do what they do. You know, that is why, obviously, both of them are going to get brought to the tournament, but that is the role they're going to play. Obviously, Matthew played that top 6 and eventually Brady did, but Brady was brought in, I believe, as a 3rd liner, because as a Sens fan, I know what he does. He's gritty, doesn't give a crap about anybody but himself. He just does all the little things. He doesn't care. He'll get in your face. He'll get under your skin. And that is exactly what him and his brother wanted to do in that first 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So Matthew drops the gloves with Hagel. That Florida-Tampa kind of matchup there. Definitely some bad blood. Just gets the crowd out. Gets the crowd even more in it, right? But also gets the U.S. bench fired up. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. Matthew wanted to prove a point that they're not just going to come into Montreal with all these Canadian fans and not just lay back. Like, they're here to put on a damn fight.
Yeah.
And 2 seconds later, Brady does the same thing, sends the same message. You see them dap up each other, go to the penalty box. That kind of awesome brother moment. We've always wanted to see these two players play together. And it was amazing. And then, obviously, the JT and Parayko fight, like, 7 seconds later, just to cap everything off.
It was
crazy.
Like, it got a lot of people watching after that, like, on social media. Yeah. Everybody started talking about it. I don't know if it's the NBA All-Star Skills or if it's a game or whatnot.
It was the skills competition.
Like, tons of people, I'm sure, switched. Like, I could see it everywhere. Everybody was switching.
I remember tuning back in to the, because during intermission or during commercial breaks, I would look at the NBA All-Star game quickly, and I remember seeing Wembanyama and Chris Paul grabbing those 3-pointers and just throwing them away, trying to cheat. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, that's like what Kucherov did last year at the All-Star break, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just not giving a crap about anything. This is entertainment for the fans. The best on best players, and the All-Star game just doesn't do it.
Well, anyways, now into the game, we had great start by Canada as Jordan Binnington assists Connor McDavid along with Drew Doughty as Connor McDavid scores a great goal to start the game.
Goal of the tournament, Caleb. Absolutely. McDavid gets the puck in the neutral zone, breaks in with the speed he knows he has. I forget the defenseman that was on him, but just flashes right by him. Forehand, backhand against the best goalie in the world. Not in the specific tournament, but Hellebuck, the best goalie in the world.
Yeah.
just buries it. Like, that's not a goal Hellebuyck lets in so many times, but it's Connor McDavid.
Best on best. That's all you can ask for. And stuff like that's always going to happen best on best. Everybody has a chance of scoring, which is just amazing. Later in the first period, you got Jake Guentzel tying it up with Jack Eichel and Zach Werenski assisting him. And then second period, another not-so-great goal, Dylan Larkin. It was a good shot, but Dylan Larkin on Jordan Binnington makes it 2-1. Assisted by Matt Boldy, who had a secretly quiet, pretty good tournament. And then third period, just couldn't get it done after almost like it felt like we were kind of being, we got dominated in the first period after we scored. And then it was kind of back and forth throughout the second and third. But then the empty net, Jake Guentzel kind of seals the deal after Canada was definitely pressuring for the last couple minutes.
Yeah. And that Jake Guentzel goal, like, I don't know. That first one was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did we talk about that first one?
No, not really.
No, that first one was very interesting. Kind of slides underneath the pad of Binnington.
Yeah, that one was bad too.
Just seals the deal with the empty netter. Good for Guentzel. Really good tournament.
Their goal in two games for Jake Guentzel right there. Do you have any other thoughts on this first game of US-Canada?
Great game. It was a great game.
Good game.
Best atmosphere I've heard that many people have ever sat in, ever been to with people in the building. Obviously, a three fight, something we'll probably maybe never even see again in an international competition.
Probably not.
One of the best games, well, obviously, it would have been nice. Canada won, but still, one of the best games I've probably ever watched entertainment-wise.
And we'll head into the third and final round-robin game, I guess, with Finland, Canada. Obviously, we had we had some stipulations. Like, we needed to win in regulation, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think Canada went into that game knowing it was their weakest competition. Obviously, we know Finland had a bit of trouble on the back end getting some defensemen, only having 11 available defensemen, and they had to use their 10th. They used 10 of them because three of them were injured. Yeah. So, bit tough. But overall, I think they still had a great tournament. Obviously, they won against Sweden, the Nordic battle.
Yeah.
Great win for them. So they were coming into that game maybe with a bit of momentum after they beat Sweden on Saturday night.
For sure.
And, you know, I think it was, I mean, obviously we know the storyline. Canada gets buzzing right away. Back-to-back goals. I believe it was McDavid to start things off.
And then
off the post. And then McKinnon. So the two superstars getting busy, a 2-0 game, like 5 minutes into it. And at that point, especially me, like, I was laid back. I was like, okay, Canada's going to run away with this game. It's going to be like when the U.S. played Finland on the first day, they won 6-1.
Heading into the first intermission with a 3-0 lead, you got to be feeling pretty comfy, especially against a depleted Finland team. Yeah, obviously, McKinnon scores again in the second period to make it 4-0. And then heading into the third, like, in me, I had deep down, maybe they cough up one or two, but I didn't see a third one coming, especially that late in the game. I just thought it was, for Finland at least, it was pretty incredible that they could pull that off. And a lot of players definitely showed off.
Yeah, like Mikael Granlund getting two goals. Mm-hmm. He was great in the tournament. Yeah, I believe he finished with three on the tier in the tournament. Great tournament by him, a veteran type of player.
You have any thoughts on the three goals? Like, two goals within like 20 seconds almost.
Canada sits back, which you can't do in a best-on-best tournament. Finland just kind of just goes crazy. Gets three in a row. It's now a 4-3 game all of a sudden. Canada kind of locks back in. Of course, it's Captain Crosby to finish things off with the empty net. Kind of calm everybody back down at home. It is what it is. It's not very good for Canada, especially when you're gearing up then to play the States already on Thursday. Yeah, it was definitely not very pretty, but at least they got the win.
After that, we knew Canada was moving on, and that U.S.-Sweden game meant nothing, which was unfortunate. That would have been, it was a good game already, but knowing that if Sweden could have done something, it would have been even cooler, but we're not going to get into that one. But obviously we had the Quinn Hughes news, and heading into the game, we only saw really one lineup change, which was Seth Jarvis in for Travis Konecny. What was your thoughts? Like, both of them played a couple games. What was your thoughts on them?
You know, I really like Seth Jarvis. I thought it was a good play. He's got plays a little bit of swagger. Obviously, he's going to be playing that fourth line, so he needs to play that gritty kind of checking line type of game. I think he, you know, I also think Konecny also kind of plays that. Both are very good players, respectively, for their teams in the NHL. Kind of, I think Seth Jarvis was the right play. I kind of liked this tournament just a little bit better. Could have went with Konechny.
And then half an hour before, we find out Josh Morrissey is out due to illness. And then we have our guy Thomas Harley come back in. Comes in on Saturday for Cale Makar. Now he's coming in for Josh Morrissey. Like I said, I thought Josh Morrissey was the best defenseman. Not great for Canada, obviously. You want everybody there, which is, it's unfortunate that Josh Morrissey wasn't there.
You finally have Cale and Josh ready to play best on best against the U.S.
Yeah.
And Morrissey is out, just like that. And that shuffles everything around.
Yes.
Now, we move up, I believe it was Sanheim.
Sanheim moved up.
Pareko, yeah. With Pareko, yes. And just like that, now Sanheim, who good defenseman, but now he's in your top four against the United States, and then, right? And then Harley obviously draws back in. Very good tournament from the young fella.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about him in Saturday's game. Gets called in because Cale obviously didn't get to play. Just phenomenal. He skated so well. He pinched really well. Not afraid to. He played with no nerves at all.
He was one of the best defensemen.
He didn't really practice with the team, right?
Because
he had to wait for Cale. He couldn't practice when Cale was on the ice.
Okay, and even another thing before the game, I will say TD Garden wasn't as. It was packed, but like I wouldn't say it was as electric as Montreal, that's for sure. And whoever sung the Canadian national anthem too, that was quite embarrassing too. I'd say that, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought that. Like I guess, like to be honest, I wasn't paying attention that much to realize. But I guess she also messed up the lyrics too. I believe she sung the first line in English, and then the next like four or five were in French, and then went back to English. But usually it's like, is it not? English, and then French, and then English. Something
she's
like
saying,
that.
Yeah, she's saying our home and native land, which is normally saying in English.
Yes, correct.
In French.
And French. And
that's what totally caught me off guard. Yeah, it caught me off guard. It really did, because, you know, growing up hearing the anthem, normally it's in English, and then all of a sudden she switches these lyrics to French, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's just a curveball out of nowhere. And
especially
tempo,
in Boston.
And the tempo and the cadence she sung at, like some words she just completely stretched, butchered. And other words that are normally stretched, she shortened, and it was really weird.
It was. And now I guess heading into the game now, first period, Nathan MacKinnon, assisted by Thomas Harley, of course, and then, of course, Sam Reinhart, who had a strong tournament too.
Yeah.
Makes it 1-0.
It's just how, that's how you're going to beat Hellebuck, right? Hellebuck is the best goalie in the NHL, and you're not going to beat him many other ways unless you have bodies in front of him. And that's exactly what I did. Look at, if you remember watching it, MacKinnon just throws that puck on net. He's near the blue line after Harley gave it to him. He's just completely not in a shooting position, but he just shoots it, and it goes in. No sight for Hellebuck. Perfect way to start the game. I loved it from Mac.
But then later on, we had Brady Tkachuk, who had a strong tournament too, 1-1. It was a lucky bounce, I'd say, but like, what was your thoughts? Yeah,
I think the defense, I think it was Cale Makar and Devontae's who were on the ice, just looked very flat-footed. Brady went right down the middle of the slot, just drove the net just like he does for the Sens, just gets a stick on it. But I thought everyone around the net was just kind of flat-footed, not really doing anything. It was Matthews on the wraparound. Goes over the shoulder of Binnington, not hard at all.
I can't really fault Binnington that much, but
no, you can't.
Like, I mean,
it just, it happens. It's okay. Yeah. We move on. So it was 1-1 going into the second period.
Right.
And the other Senator, go Sens go, Jake Sanderson, who gets called up in the tournament and off another play that was kind of really discombobulated and then somehow ends up on the stick of Sanderson and in the back of the net.
Yeah. I was surprised that Sanderson could rip it like that. I wasn't expecting that at all.
He can.
And moving through the second period, we have an unexpected goal scorer, Sam Bennett, Stanley Cup champion last year. Sam Bennett scores to make it 2-2. Sigh of relief, I'd say. And now it's 2-2. Assisted by Mitch Marner, who I'd say had a weak tournament other than that one OT goal in the first game. But Sam Bennett... Yeah. Probably on the lowest, like least expected guy to score a goal.
Sam Bennett.
Yes.
Hell of a tournament from the guy.
One. He did his job.
Oh my goodness. He played probably, his role the best out of any Canadian player. Sam Bennett, I loved his energy, played his role perfectly. Huge goal, tie game, Kale, going into the later stages of the third period.
Yes, now third period. We didn't have any goals in the third period, but I would say it was pretty fun. I'd say there's a lot more times I'd go silent watching the game. And like, it's the thing with best on best. It's back and forth, and you know anybody can score. Both teams are having their rushes and their chances, but honestly, a great third period, even though there are zero goals, that's for sure.
It's lovely. As we move into the later stages of the game, overtime is needed. In the championship of the Four Nations face-off, Canada-USA, you cannot ask for a better ending. Script.
No.
If the script is, of course they want overtime. The golden goal, obviously, we know in 2010, everybody is saying, oh, we're going to get a new golden goal. Well, Caleb, I'm going to say it. The overtime looked like it was going all the U.S. for the first little bit of it.
That's for sure. And well done, like Bennington turned into prime Dominic Hasek there for a little bit. And he shut down Austin Matthews one time, Brady Tkachuk a couple times, right? So Mark Stone did have a good chance, but Hellebuyck obviously got that. It was mostly USA that overtime, that's for sure.
If it wasn't for Jordan Bennington, it would have been a completely different overtime. Yes. We would not be this excited talking about this tournament.
Right.
What a save on the, I believe it was a rebound at the side of the net by Jordan Bennington. He gets it with the glove. Yeah. And then the face-off a couple seconds later denies, was it Matthews? A glove save, flashes the leather. This is why they chose Bennington to be the number one starter. And that's exactly what John Cooper told him. They had a discussion after that first game saying, listen, I know this game went in overtime, not what you really would have wanted, but you're still our number one guy. And that's exactly what he did. Obviously got the Game 7 win 5 years ago in Boston to win the Cup. Gets it done like it's another Game 7, this time with the leaf on his chest.
I mean, I was surprised to say the least that he got every game. Like, a lot of people thought maybe Aiden Hill's coming into the game for Finland, or not coming in, but like starting the game against Finland. But obviously they stuck with Bennington, which, I mean, it worked out, I guess. And I mean, he's looks like he's starting in the Olympics now, which is pretty crazy, but
we'll see.
We got a year. We got like
the goaltending debate. Caleb, I 100% agree with you. If I'm looking at Italy right now, Jordan Bennington, you are my number one starting goalie.
All right. And now let's run through it. OT goal. Let's hear it.
All righty. OT goal. Canada finally gets the forecheck going. We break into the United States zone. Who else? You cannot ask for a better ending than this. All alone in the middle of the slot. I forget who feeds him.
Kale McCarr and Mitch Marner.
But Mitch Marner, that's who I thought. Yeah. The primary. Uh-huh. How do you leave? I get he didn't. We can also talk about this. McDavid had a terrible game. The U.S. were, you know, all over him, giving him no space on the puck. And that's like what McDavid utilizes, his speed when he has space. Yeah. And he even said it in the post-game interview. He did not have a good game at all. But they leave him all alone in the slot. It's a new era of Canadian hockey. Connor McDavid rips it top corner to win the Four Nations face-off for Canada.
And just, I mean, nothing better than overtime. Of course, that's the perfect way to end almost a perfect tournament. That's for sure, is ending with overtime. And you know what? It was a great goal. Canada finally can take a breath. It's still our sport, that's for sure. And just a great way to end 5-on-5 overtime. It was great. That's for sure.
Yeah, you cannot ask for a better ending. So, and it kind of just puts the nail in the coffin. Like, this game was so big. I know Canadians were maybe nervous. Like, is it still our sport? Like, the U.S. beat us on Saturday, and now we're in overtime on the biggest stage. Well, maybe not the biggest stage. Four Nations face-off stage. Felt like the biggest stage.
It did, and the players made it seem like it. That's for sure. Canada didn't win for the trophy or for the cash prize and the gold medals. They won just to beat USA. That's for sure.
Oh, 100%, which is great. Great feeling. Yes. But yes, Canada, champions of the Four Nations face-off. Still our sport. Man, that feels so good. And we'll do it almost pretty much all again, even on the bigger stage for Olympic gold next year in Milan, which is going to be incredible.
Thank you guys so much for watching. If you enjoyed, check out our extended podcast out on YouTube and other podcast apps. Anything else you got to say, Jake, before we head out?
No, it's a great first episode. Check out all the platforms, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. True North Ice is everywhere, baby.
Yes, sir. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. Peace.